Lord God, our Father, we thank you that you spoke to mankind through the Bible. You spoke to us through the Bible, telling us about yourself and telling us about ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you've spoken to us through your Son. Your Son who came to earth as a baby and lived as a man, who came to earth as your messenger and died and rose again as our rescuer. Lord, we thank you that we have this time of year to give and receive gifts. Lord, we thank you at this time of year we have friends and family to share time with and joy. And Lord, we pray that in this time of giving, we would understand the greatest gift, that gift that you gave in the form of your Son for us. And we pray that we would be those who receive the gift and so gain the right to become the children of God, which you have promised. Lord, we pray that we would see the wonder of your love and the greatness of that gift afresh. Lord, help us to see it as if for the first time, that we may have great wonder and joy at what you have done for us. Amen.
Our first reading this evening is taken from the book, the first book in the Bible called Genesis, which means the beginning. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, and they have just eaten of the fruit of which God forbade them to eat. And these verses tell us what God says to them. The verses may seem to be unrelated to Christmas at this point, but you will understand them more as you hear the readings throughout the evening. So we're reading from Genesis chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life."
Hello. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35, and that's found on page 722 in the Church Bible. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
Our next reading this evening is from Isaiah 9, reading from verses 2 to 7. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you. As people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
I'll be reading Matthew 1, verses 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us.
This reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Question. What are we doing here? Something I quite often ask myself. What am I doing here? Then I'll tell myself it's okay, I like some of these people here, but on a serious level, you know, we came out tonight, and I guess if I was to go around the room and ask why you're here, we'd all have different answers. For some it would be, I don't know, maybe it would be just like a sing-song. It's a good time of year for a sing-song, so I'll come out for a sing-song. Some would say, well, it's something that we do traditionally, is have a carol service and go along to a carol service if we can. For some of us, it would be we're here to serve and to serve others and to serve God. For some, it would be, well, because my mate dragged me here, which is true. It's true. But yeah, we could all be here for a different reason, for many reasons. But one of the reasons that some people come along to an event like this is because of stories. They like stories, they like traditional stories. I like stories, I'll tell you why I'm here, I like box sets, DVD box sets, and serial programming and things like that. Because of the storytelling, and when you get engaged in the story, you want to go right through it from beginning to end, don't you? You know, you don't want to do like what George Lucas did with Star Wars and start in the middle, go to the end, and then think, oh, you know what? It's good. So we go right back to the beginning, and a lot of Christmas services and what we think about Christmas. It's a bit like a DVD box set that starts in the middle. Because when we're talking about the Christmas story, we're not always thinking about the whole story. The story that starts at the beginning in the Bible and ends at the end of the Bible. Now, we just think of it as, oh, it's a lovely story where a child was born under fairly unusual circumstances. But we're picking up the Christmas story in the middle. And for us tonight, I mean, you've already heard some scriptures. And we had a reading from Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, where the story goes that Adam and Eve, the first man and first woman, brought sin into this world through eating of a forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that is where the story, the Christmas story, really begins, back there. The Christmas story really ends not when this baby's born. It really ends towards the end of the Bible in Revelations, when that baby that grew up to be a man will be coming back, and he'll be coming back as a judge, and he'll be coming back to judge everybody according to what they've done. And the story goes that that death and Hades is going to give up its dead, and Christ is going to judge them. Christ is going to judge the living and all who aren't found to be written into the book of life will be condemned to the fiery lake of sulfur, the story goes. So we've seen that, you know, this is where we usually jump in with Christ's birth, in the middle of the story. But what goes before it is very important. What comes after it is very important. It's not just one little snippet of the story that we need to remember and that we need to focus on. Because if we do that, then we'll be forgetting the whole reason why God gave us this gift, this child that we think about and that we celebrate. This child that has been so important to the whole of humanity that even our calendar system and the way that we mark time is around the birth of this Jesus who God gave us. Now, if we forget all that's gone before and we forget what's coming and we just concentrate on this Jesus being born in a manger in weird circumstances, it's a lovely story, isn't it? It's a lovely story. And I guess a lot of us would like to leave it there because it's nice. It's nice if it's left there. There's no accountability. There's no deep, meaningful thinking that we have to do apart from thinking, oh, you know. But that's not where the story ends. But I'm going to go back to this middle where Jesus was born. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the circumstances and why he was born and who he was. Because it's important that we know. Now, Jesus, this Jesus that was born to us, was born, like I said, under very unusual circumstances. He had no earthly father. I should say he wasn't parented by earthly father. He was parented by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. So this God-man was born of a virgin as a helpless babe. Mary went through all the usual things that women go through in childbirth. And this Jesus was born. Now this Jesus didn't stay a babe. And that's how a lot of the time we tend to remember him, especially at Christmas. We just think about the baby in the cradle. But he didn't stay that way. He grew up as any boy would do. And he went through being a toddler, through being an infant and running around, and then being 11, 12 years old, teenager. He didn't have all the teenage angst that we all go through, but he grew up in pretty much a normal way as everybody else would. Except for there was a difference with him. First of all, when he was born, he was born sinless. When he grew up, in his childhood days, he grew up sinless. This is very important. This is very important for you to understand this. And then when he grew into a man, he faced the same thing that all men do. He faced hostility. He faced temptation. He faced everything that we go through. And yet, he was sinless. He had no sin in him. And that's why this Jesus, this God-man, was so special. Because he could do something that none of us ever could do. He could be declared righteous through his own living. He could be declared righteous through his own living, and he was God's perfect sacrifice, having no spot, having no blemish. And it's important to know that and to understand that because of, like I say, there's a time when he's coming back to judge. And when he comes back to judge, it's going to be, what did you do with this Jesus? And many of us might think, oh, do you know what? I left him in the cradle as a helpless babe. But I've been quite good. But that is not going to let us off of judgment, of whether we are going to spend eternity with God or whether we're going to be spending eternity in that dark place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, God gave us Christ. He gave us Jesus as a gift of grace, that he would bear the punishment that we deserved. when Christ grew up and he had gone through his ministry, and I guess he was about 33 years old, around that age, 33 years old. And he went to the cross. There's the Easter story. He went to the cross as a punishment for all of us, for all our sins, for the sins of the whole of mankind, if they would choose. You see, God must punish sin, because God is a righteous and just God, and he must punish sin. Now, all of us, from the beginning, from when Adam and Eve took that fruit, which was forbidden to them, and sin entered the world, every single one of us have sinned and do sin. Every one of us. There's no one here that can say, do you know what, I'm perfect, I've lived a perfect life. If I was to ask everybody a series of questions, everybody will fall short somewhere in the Ten Commandments. If you haven't actually done the deed, if you haven't stolen, you've thought about it. If you haven't committed adultery or slept with somebody that you shouldn't have done, you probably thought about it. You've probably been jealous at some stage over something that somebody's got and that you don't. You know, most people have disobeyed their parents. You know, these things are sin. And what sin does is it's driven a wedge between us and God. And that sin must be punished, because God hates sin. Now, if we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, from our first sin, God could do is he could say, do you know what, Paul, you've sinned, I'm taking you out. Boom, and judge me there and then. But he didn't do that. He gave me a gift. He gave all of us a gift in Jesus Christ. That he who grew up from helpless babe to full-blown man without sin, that he could bear my sin, that he could go to that cross and God could punish everything that I'd done upon him rather than doing it to me. That's why God gave us Jesus Christ. Not just a nice story, not just, oh, he's this guy that, you know, he's a good example. He gave us Christ that we wouldn't have to bear the punishment that we deserve. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Like I said, which is an eternity away from God, away from the glory of God in this place of suffering and great misery. But Christ came that we didn't have to. He was given to us so that we didn't have to be condemned to that. He made a way for us. See, what he did in living that perfect life that we can't live, he became our representative to God. And when God punished all our sins upon him, he said, do you know what? Everything, Paul, my name's Paul, by the way. Everything, Paul, that you've done, everything that you're going to do, because I'm still not perfect yet, I still sin. Can't help it. I'm like everybody else. We still have this problem with sin. He says, your problem with sin, Paul, this is what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to put it on Jesus Christ and I'm going to nail it to that cross. And then I'm going to take the life that Jesus lived and I'm going to give that to you. So when I look at you, Paul, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see perfect righteousness. I'm going to see you as if you had lived the Son of God, as if you'd lived his life, and I'm going to punish your wrongdoings upon him as if he'd lived your life. That's what he did. What a replacement. I like that. I like that because what it does is it takes away the emphasis off of me and me trying to be perfect. Because you know what? I never will be perfect. Well, I will be, but not here, not on this earth. And most of us can say we're not perfect. All of us can say we're not perfect. We've all broken God's holy law in one place or another. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. So none of us are perfect, and all of us have this problem then of sin. And that is why we were given Jesus Christ to deal with that problem of sin, because we, as human beings, can't deal with it for ourselves. No matter how much good I try to do, I still do wrong. No matter how much bad I try not to do, I sometimes still do, if that makes sense. I cannot live a perfect life. And anybody who would like to try to be justified before God, especially on that day of judgment, by what they have done on this earth, well, trust me, I wouldn't want to be in that person's shoes. I would rather be trusting on what Christ has done for me. Him being perfect, me being imperfect. For me, it's an easy choice. I would choose what Christ did every day. So that's the question that I want to put out there as well. What have you done with this Christ, this Jesus that God gave us? That Jesus that we're here tonight singing about, that we're singing praises about, that we're lifting up, we're exalting him today. What have you done with him? Or what are you going to do with him? Because the day will come when it's time to be judged. And the question will be, what have you done with this Jesus? Have you trusted that Jesus' sacrifice, once and for all, was good enough? Have you trusted that he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and that he is enough? What he has done is enough for you to be saved, for you to not have to worry about sin, death, hell. It's really important what you do with this Jesus. Let's not leave him as a babe in a cradle. Let's remember that he grew up as a sinless boy into teenagehood, as into a man, and that he went to the cross on our behalf, that he would pay the punishment for our sins that we deserved. Let's remember that he was the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice. Let's remember that all we need to do is trust in what he did rather than our own goodness and our own efforts in order to be right with God. It's not a big ask, really, when you think about it. It's not a big ask to trust in what he's done rather than trusting on what you do for yourself. But everything pins on it. Everything hinges on what you have done with this Jesus. And ultimately, every knee will bow to this Jesus. And I would like to bow now before judgment, because every knee will bow. Nice story. this middle part. But there's so much more. It starts at the beginning of the Bible and it ends. Well, it never ends. It never ends. Because I'm waiting for that day when he does come to judge and he judges me by what he's done in my place. And then I will spend eternity with him. And everybody has that opportunity. Now, if you need to talk to anybody about anything you've heard or if you've got questions, feel free. There's plenty of people around that, you know, some of you will know as to be Christians, and if you want to ask questions, you can do. But we are actually running a program after Christmas as well, because I know some people will find it difficult just hearing, well, this is what the Bible says and this is what God says, and will want to hear more. We are going to be running a program called Christianity Explored. So after Christmas, if anybody wants to learn more, there will be an opportunity. But I will say tonight, let's not leave Jesus in the cradle. But let's trust on him, trust on his finished work, that he may make us right with God so that we can spend eternity with him. Amen.